Happy Tuesday, everyone. Today is January 12, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. I'm Laura Robin, filling in for Ross Parlon today. Without any further ado, let's get started. 1918 Montreal Canadiens center Joel Malone scores 5 goals in a 9-4 win over Ottawa to become the first 20-goal scorer in NHL history. Goes on to score 44 regular season goals. 1920 was the annual drafting of baseball players from minor leagues to be done in inverse order of the final standings. In 1946, NFL champs Cleveland Rams are given permission to move to LA. 1951, Ezard Charles TKO's Lee Oma in 10 rounds for heavyweight boxing title. In 1958, the NCAA adds 2-point conversions to football scoring. Again in 1958, Syracuse national Dolph Shays set an NBA record at 11,770 points. In 1960, again, Syracuse national Dolph Shays is the first NBAer to score 15,000 points. In 1966, Boston Celtics coach Red Auerbach records his 1,000th NBA career victory in a 114-102 over the Los Angeles Lakers in Boston. In 1967, in Louisville, Kentucky, the draft board refuses exemption for boxer Muhammad Ali. In 1980, Phoenix point guard Mike Bratz begins NBA-free throw streak of 57 games during a 107-96 loss at the Golden State Warriors. In 1983, the NCAA creates Football Kickoff Classic to begin in August. Again in 1983, Quebec Nordiques play 230th NHL game without being shut out. In 1991, the largest crowd to watch an Atlantic Coast women's basketball game with 11,520 people in attendance. And again in 1991, Melvin Stewart swims the world record 200-meter butterfly in 1 minute and 55 seconds. In 1992, the highest scoring NCAA basketball game takes place between Troy State Trojans, who defeat DeVry Hoyas 258-149. In 1993, NHL great Mario Lemieux announces that he has been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. In 1995, the infamous murder trial against O.J. Simpson began in L.A. In 1997, Tiger Woods won the Mercedes Championships. 2006, during an emotional ceremony, Mark Messier's number 11 jersey is retired by the New York Rangers. In 2009, Cristiano Ronaldo is awarded 2008 FIFA World Player of the Year for the first time at a ceremony in Zurich. In 2013, the Mile High Miracle happened. In an AFC divisional playoff game, the Denver Broncos, ahead of the Baltimore Ravens, 35-28 with 1 minute and 9 seconds remaining, quarterback Joe Flacco heaved a 70-yard touchdown pass to receiver Jacoby Jones to tie the game. The Ravens won in overtime. In 2015, Real Madrid and Portugal forward Cristiano Ronaldo wins for a second consecutive time, his third award overall. And lastly, in 2020, Argentine striker Sergio Aguero becomes top scoring overseas player in an English Premier League football history with a hat trick in Manchester City's 6-1 rout of Aston Villa. The total of 177 takes him past Thierry Henry. And we'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around and welcome to our deep dive segment. Today we are going to start talking about a trial that captivated the world due to the fact that the defendant was one of the great running backs in the NFL, the O.J. Simpson murder trial. O.J. Simpson met Nicole Brown in 1977 while she was still working as a waitress at a nightclub called The Daisy. Although still married to his first wife, Simpson began dating Brown. Simpson and Marguerite divorced in March 1979. Brown and Simpson were married on February 2nd, 1985, 5 years after his retirement from professional football. The couple had two children, Cindy Brooke Simpson and Justin Ryan Simpson. The marriage lasted 7 years, during which Simpson pleaded no contest to spousal abuse in 1989. Brown filed for divorce on February 25, 1992, citing irreconcilable differences. In 1993, after the divorce, Brown and Simpson made an attempt at reconciliation, but according to Sheila Weller, they were a dramatic, fractious, mutually obsessed couple before they married. And after they married, after they divorced in 1992, and after they reconciled. On June 12, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were both found stabbed to death outside Nicole's condo in the Brentwood area of Los Angeles. Simpson was a person of interest in their murders. Simpson did not turn himself in, and on June 17th, he became the object of a low-speed pursuit by police while riding as a passenger in the white 1993 Ford Bronco SUV owned and driven by his longtime friend, Al Cowlings. TV stations interrupted coverage of the 1994 NBA Finals to broadcast the incident live. With an estimated audience of 95 million people, the event was described as the most famous ride on American shores since Paul Revere's. The pursuit, arrest, and trial of Simpson were among the most widely publicized events in American history. The trial, often characterized as the trial of the century because its international publicity, likened to that of Sacco and Vanzetti and the Lindbergh kidnapping, culminated after 11 months on October 3rd, 1995, when the jury rendered a verdict of not guilty for the two murders. An estimated 100 million people nationwide tuned in to watch or listen to the verdict announcement. Following Simpson's acquittal, no additional arrests or convictions related to the murders were made. Immediate reaction to the verdict was known for its division along racial lines. A poll of Los Angeles County residents showed that most African Americans there felt justice had been served by the not guilty verdict, while the majority of whites and Latinos opined that it had not. The Black community was influenced by having suffered in Los Angeles from oppression by the majority white discriminatory police department. O.J. Simpson's integrated defense counsel team included Johnny Cochran, Robert Kardashian, Robert Shapiro, and F. Lee Bailey. Marsha Clark was the lead prosecutor for the state of California. According to a 2016 poll, 83% of white Americans and 57% of Black Americans believe Simpson committed the murders. Following Simpson's acquittal of criminal charges, Ron Goldman's family filed a civil lawsuit against Simpson. Daniel Petrocelli represented plaintiff Fred Goldman, who is Ronald Goldman's father, while Robert Baker represented Simpson. Superior Court Judge Hiroshi Fujisaki presided, and he barred television and still cameras, radio equipment, and courtroom sketch artists from the courtroom. On October 23, 1996, opening statements were made, and on January 16, 1997, both sides rested their cases. On February 5, 1997, a civil jury in Santa Monica, California, unanimously found Simpson liable for the wrongful death of and battery against Goldman and battery against Brown. Simpson was ordered to pay $33.5 million in damages. In February 1999, an auction of Simpson's Heisman Trophy and other belongings netted almost $500,000, which went to the Goldman family. The Goldman family also tried to collect Simpson's NFL $28,000 yearly pension, but failed to collect any money. In 1997, Simpson defaulted on his mortgage at the home in which he had lived for 20 years at 360 North Rockingham Avenue, and the lender foreclosed the property. In July 1998, the house was demolished by its next owner, Kenneth Abdallah, an investment banker and president of the Jerry's Famous Deli chain. On September 5th, 2006, Goldman's father took Simpson back to court to obtain control over Simpson's right to publicity for purposes of satisfying the judgment in the civil court case. On January 4th, 2007, a federal judge issued a restraining order prohibiting Simpson from spending any advance he may have received on a canceled book deal and TV interview about the 1994 murders. The matter was dismissed before trial for lack of jurisdiction. On January 19, 2007, a California state judge issued an additional restraining order ordering Simpson to restrict his spending to ordinary and necessary living expenses. On March 13, 2007, a judge prevented Simpson from receiving any further compensation from the defunct book deal and TV interview, and the judge ordered the bundled book rights to be auctioned. In August 2007, a Florida bankruptcy court awarded the rights to the book to the Goldman family to partially satisfy an unpaid civil judgment. Originally titled If I Did It, the book was renamed If I Did It, The Confessions of the Killer, with the word if reduced in size to make the title appear to read I Did It, Confessions of the Killer. Additional material was added by members of the Goldman family, investigative journalist Dominic Dunn, and author Pablo Fengivis. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Don't forget to subscribe however you're listening to us, and follow and like us on all social media at Sport History Pod. Thank you to Jason Shaw at Audionautix for the intro music, and to Ross Parlon, our script editor and director. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.